Empire.
You thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the urban sports scene.
You are listening to the urban sports scene with Ray Jeezy, Will T, and myself, Wole. We are part of Ampire Media at ampiremedia.com. What's going on, fellas?
Will T, you ain't gonna go first. I'm good.
No, I'm letting you go first.
I know. I thought Will T was gonna go first.
Will T usually just jumps in there. It's okay. But I was watching just sports over the weekend, and regardless of what the teams look like for the long term future, which we don't know yet. I'm talking about all our professional sports teams here.
Yeah.
It was a big weekend for the DMV.
It was. You agree, Will T?
I wouldn't say it's a big weekend.
Why, Will? Why? Why wouldn't you say that?
Okay. If it's a big weekend, then what is the outcome from this big weekend? What happened that, you know, that impacts this team and puts these teams in a different position outside of the Wizards, right? Because they, you know, they won and now they're number one in the East.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still, you know, we haven't even played 25% of the games yet.
I said, I don't know what the long-term future looks like for anybody. I just said this weekend, I'm celebrating the weekend, sir. I've enjoyed sports. I enjoyed the weekend off, and yeah, it was cool. I had a good time watching the Wizards, the Washington football team won. But right now, we do need to get the fans back. So winning cures all things, period.
I don't think winning cures all things.
What it's supposed to cure all things. That's what winning does. It hides dirt and everything.
No, it's supposed to, but I mean, if a fan base feels, you know, as if they've been lied to, they've been hoodwinked and bamboozled, they're going to stay away.
You're talking about watching football.
You're talking about watching football.
Well, I'm just talking about in general.
About watching football.
So, okay. I mean, like the Patriots win all the time and when winning hides their stuff.
Hides what?
All the cheating stuff, the Flategate, all the stuff we heard in the past about the Patriots.
Fans are not going to be upset if you're cheating because you want to win. Huh? I don't think there's any fan base. I don't think.
Are we talking about? Go ahead.
No, you're saying the cheating. Like, you're saying the cheating.
Yeah.
With the Patriots, right?
Uh-huh.
I don't think there's a fan base alive that if their team is cheating to win, they'll get upset. But I think if you have a team like the Washington football team that has a culture issue, that doesn't spend money to go out and get the top players, that has sexual harassment issues, there's issues with the stadium, I think that fan base won't readily come back as easily if you start to win. That's just my opinion.
I will say this. In comparison to any other franchise, Washington has had a myriad of issues.
Yeah, I agree.
Because the Jets have had some sexual harassment stuff. The Patriots have had cheating, but it's like Washington has all of them.
All in one.
That's the hard part. The name changed. There's some teams that have Indian names across sports, but they do have every single issue. So I would agree. But I look at Bradley Beal, Aaron Rodgers, people who aren't vaccinated. When the teams are winning, nobody says anything. When other guys in the NFL, NBA, when they're having controversial things, like right now, the Nets aren't talking about Kyrie Irving. We're not talking about that right now because the Nets are winning. James Harden is looking good again. Winning does cure a lot. Maybe all things can be a bit of a stretch, but you know what I mean. For the most part, winning helps a lot. And this weekend, everybody's talking about the victories that took place. That's all I was trying to say. Took a whole nother turn.
We got real political, but I know what Will was saying and what you were saying, like the whole Marriott thing, all things combined. Yes, watch this. Yes, it's hard for fans to come back because you include everything. You include not spending enough money to get players, the scandal with the sexual harassment, the name change, the stadium,
Sean Taylor, they botched that. So
all that included. Will has a great point.
It's a lot, but I will say this: Dan Snyder is trying to win, even though he hasn't figured it out yet. But he's trying. As you say, as long as you're trying to win, you shouldn't be mad. He's trying, and that man has spent money in the past.
In the past, he just don't know how. He just can't get right. It is what it is, bro. He just can't get right.
It's tough.
He just don't know how to, whatever reason. It's personal, whatever. Just can't get right. All right, man. Amp Papyri Media hosts multiple DMV sports podcast shows, such as the John Kine Report, hosted by ESPN Washington Football Team insider John Kine, and Jones Football, hosted by USA Today insider Mike Jones. You subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search The Urban Sports Inc.
This show can be found on Podcast DC, the new local app for hundreds of options of local news and health in the DMV region. Download Podcast DC app to hear all of Empire shows as well as other great content.
Hey, also, don't forget to tweet us at Urban Sports Scene. Hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Also, join our Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Search Urban Sports Scene, sports bloggers, sports podcasters, and sports debates. Will T.
Let's get into our tradition. The pregame.
Here's what we have on tap. We'll talk about the Washington Football Team upsetting Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and their upcoming game against Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers. At 8:30, we'll talk about Porter versus Terrence Bud Crawford. Finally, we'll debate whether the Washington Wizards are viable threats to win the Eastern Conference. But first, Will T.
First, it sounds weird with Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers.
That was purposeful.
I did it on purpose, bro. I know what I was doing.
I know what you was doing there. All right, Sunday, the Washington Football Team defeated the defending Super Bowl champs, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 29-19. What are your thoughts on the game, Wole?
I thought it was I was surprised at the outcome. We were doing the show last week. I thought this game wouldn't be close. I thought the defense would play better, but I thought eventually down the road, down in the second half, maybe late third, that Brady would pull away. So I was impressed with, the defense. Also, Ray will be surprised with me saying this. I was impressed with Scott Turner's play calling. I thought they was very impressed. I was very impressed with it because it reminded me more of what some of the stuff his father would do in Norv Turner. And to be honest with you, some of the stuff his Joe Gibbs would do. He played the ball control game. The last drive, he was willing to run the football. Knowing that Tampa Bay had a stout run defense, he was constantly running the football. And I'm going to give credit when credit is due with Antonio Gibson. He may have not had 100 yards, but he ran physical. He ran like an actual running back. He ran downhill, and he had some success, especially in the second half. Right?
Well, in my opinion, first and foremost, I feel like this is the first time this season this team has played with that chip on their shoulder. And they came in as though they had nothing to lose. Like that us against the world mentality. And hey, if we do lose, so what? We were supposed to. I think the expectation starting the year really hurt them. Because they came into the season expecting to be a dominant defense. And they wanted to be good and have a good record by the bye week. So that was the biggest change for me when I saw just how they came out and they just played carefree football. Also, obviously, a bye week does wonders for certain teams, and that did it. That did it just an amazing thing for this team because they had obviously a week off where they didn't have to play a game, and then they had more time to prepare. And I think that they definitely took that time and prepared properly for Tom Brady and a team right now that's struggling that also has some injuries. And this is what you're supposed to do: you take advantage of teams when they're wounded. And then lastly, you win a turnover battle and you win a time of possession. You're going to give yourself a chance to win a football game. So that's what they did this week. Just the whole mentality was different. But Rivera, this has to be consistent, though. Like, his whole locker room speech, I wasn't impressed with. I'm like, dude, because I wasn't.
I know.
Like, and I like the way they broadcasted it. I'm like, why didn't you broadcast him these last several weeks? No, I want to see what you're saying after losses, not after you win and it's your third win of the season. So now, consistency is what I want to see.
Will, you have anything to add to that?
Not much. I don't have much to add. I think that the defense, I think this was the most complete game that from an offensive, defensive, and special teams perspective that we saw all year. Even though he only had, I think, like 68 yards on 24 carries, I love that they emphasized the run with Antonio Gibson. And I also like that Taylor Heineke played under control. But he didn't play scared. He let the ball rip when he saw us were coming out of their cuts. You know, so the ball was right on them when they were coming out of their cuts, which is something that we hadn't seen for the past couple of weeks because Heinicke was holding the ball, trying to make something happen. So it was a refreshing win for, you know, everyone who follows the team in the DMV. Uh-huh. You know, even fans of the team. I'm not necessarily a fan of the team, but you felt, you know, it felt good to see this team defeat the defending Super Bowl champions.
Yeah, I think most importantly, it felt good to see this team compete. Forget all the, you know, winning and losing. Just go out there, play with some pride. You're playing against Tom Brady. And I totally agree with you, Will T. I think, you know, you saw some improvement with Taylor Heinicke. There's some things he did do well. Like you mentioned, he wasn't holding on to football as much. So I do think you give credit when credit is due. And like I said, I'm going to give Scott Turner some credit because usually I'm hard on a dude, but I thought he called a decent game.
Finally. He did what we've been all asking for.
No. So we asked this question. I mean, we asked what they looked like. I mean, what did fans like most about Washington's victory over the Bucks on our social media platforms? This is also posted on our Urban Sports Scene Twitter and our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. On Facebook, George posted that drive at the end. Yeah, that drive, again, reminded me of like a Joe Gibbs type of drive. You held the ball for like almost like, was it 10 minutes?
It was over 10 minutes.
Over 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. And you ended off, you know, you limited Brady. You stopped Brady from winning the game basically with that drive. On Twitter, at L Poetico tweeted last drive and Taylor Heinicke and Taylor's will to win. Q tweeted the drive. He called it the drive like Denver. All right. TJ tweeted all the Tampa fans leaving really fast after talking trash the entire game. I wasn't at the game, so I don't know.
I can imagine, because to be honest with you, as I was watching, I said Tampa's going to come back.
Yeah.
they're going to come back at some point, which they did.
Yeah.
But shockingly, Washington held them off, which, again, it comes down to execution.
Yeah. And they answered.
Running the football.
When Brady scored the touchdown, I'm like, they answered. That was everything huge. They answered, which was huge.
They deferred again, too, and it worked out this time.
I hate the deferred crap.
All right, so, guys. Obviously, coming into the game, you didn't have Montez Sweat. Speaking of the Washington football team, of course. But they didn't have Montez Sweat. And you now lost Chase Young due to a torn ACL. But the defense continued to play at a high level even after the injury. What do you guys expect going forward now that Chase Young is out for the season?
I think this is a preview of the future for this team. Meaning, that defensive line, you have four first-rounders,
uh-huh.
Right? You've already paid Jonathan Allen. Deron Payne is going to suddenly come up to get paid. You do not have the cap space to spend on all four first-round defensive linemen.
Uh-huh.
So what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to strengthen your team. You're going to have to weaken your defensive line and strengthen your team, meaning you're going to have to eventually trade one of those guys eventually to help to bring in another asset or assets that can help this team going forward. So it's, you know, no one wants to see Chase Young go out, but I do think, you know, with him and Montez Sweat out, I think you may see a preview of the future of what's to come for this team's defensive line to look like in the next 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, it's definitely possible. I agree with you, Will T, in terms of you're not going to get to pay everybody, but in terms of the present, I do think that in the flip side, this is something that's going to probably this is not against Chase Young. So when anybody's listening to this, if I'm saying that the defense, what I'm about to say, don't make it sound like it's an insult to Chase Young. The defense may be better with this happening. What I mean by that is that it's going to force Jack Del Rio to do certain things that he wasn't doing prior to Chase Young. You saw in the game when Chase Young was out, you already lost Montez Sweat, Chase Young's out. You saw Jack Del Rio bring more pressure that you probably haven't seen throughout the season because he can't rely on saying, all right, we're just going to rush four, and that's cool. You know what I mean? We're going to get home with four. Now he knows, you know what, we may not be able to get home with four, so now we have to bring an extra or two extra dudes to get pressure because he did that with Brady. He started bringing extra pressure with Tom Brady. And typically, if you watch the game last year with them rushing four, he didn't really try to bring pressure. He just rushed the four. So to me, they got more pressure with this strategy. And I think the only reason why this strategy went down was because Chase went down. So I feel like it's not, it really, truth be told, it's more on the coaching that they're not doing. Not Chase, but I'm saying they're probably, they may be a better team because certain coaches coach better with less, which is a sad thing to say.
You don't think it's attributed to the bye week, though, the extra week of preparation?
No, because I think what they did was straight. Because I told you, they were getting better every week. Like, I saw this. They were getting better every week. Every week, their defense was getting better. To me, I felt like with the injury, I thought that it made him do certain things. Especially when Sweat was out, I thought they were going to bring more pressure. When Chase went down, they were definitely going to bring more pressure. I agree with you. And I'm not saying that the bye week didn't help. The bye week did help. But I think it helped the team as a whole, to be honest with you. But I thought they did certain things they changed prior to the bye week, like moving Landon Collins to linebacker, letting Cam Curl play his natural position to safety. It was certain things they did that improved their play going into the bye, and they probably ironed some things out.
Well, I mean, moving forward, I guess this will be a good test coming up this week. I don't know. I know we're going to talk about this. Uh-huh. I don't know if PJ Walker starting. Cam is obviously not going to start.
Cam's getting all the first team reps.
Is he?
Yes.
Wow. See, and you're facing a motivated Cam, which is kind of scary. And I think Ron Rivera is not helping with what he's saying in the media right now. I know he's trying to. He's trying to hype his guy. We'll get there. Anyway, I can't say what the team will look like going forward. This was a good start, but like you said, it helped the whole team. The bye week, I'm speaking of, helped the whole team, and I think the whole team bought in to the extra practice time that they had and the extra film room study, because again, they just looked like they were a step ahead of the Buccaneers all game, which was a good look. The Buccaneers are a bit arrogant as a coaching staff, which they should be.
Yeah,
I love Todd Bowles, by the way, and I still feel as though, you know, you won a Super Bowl now, you created the blueprint that is now stifling the Kansas City Chiefs, even though the Chiefs beat up the Raiders. That, again, we're going to see who they are moving forward as well, but yeah, right now, Tampa's being humbled, and Will T said earlier, what does this win really mean in the grand scheme of things? Maybe not a whole lot, and for Tampa, of course we know that, because the playoffs is all that matters once Tampa, Tom Brady, you know, gets into the dance. So let's see what happens this week, and then that'll give us a more of an eye test as to what to expect without Chase Young, although everybody's saying Chase Young didn't have an impact this season. I wouldn't say that. Just because his sack numbers are low doesn't mean he didn't have him. The man was dropping back in coverage. You see his athleticism.
Yeah.
It's just, I think that came down to coaching and what and where he was being placed on the field and what he was being asked to do. Because like Glenn said on the other show, the worst thing that's happened to Chase Young in the second year is he's being coached.
Yeah, like, I think he's overcoached. I think he's just thinking. He's overthinking. Mm-hmm. And, you know, is it a down year for Chase Young? Yes. I mean, to be honest, stats-wise, 1.5 sacks for a dude that talented is low. But I do think there's a lot of elements that play a part into that. A lot of things that play a part to that. Like, to me, Chase, I'll use an example. Like, Chase Young is way more talented than Ryan Kerrigan. Like, way more. And Ryan Kerrigan would luck around and get 5 sacks right now, by now. Right? Mm. I'm not saying that Chase Young, you know, it's like, I agree with you, Ray. Like, he does so many other things than just rushing the passer. Like, he's good against the run, to be honest with you. There's so many ways he impacts the football game.
And they double him.
I mean, when you're that good, but again, I'm going to say this. When you're that talented, though.
Oh, no. What I'm saying is, are you going to double now? Are you going to have to double as much against his D-line without him being there? That's what I'm saying.
Well, that's when you bring extra. That's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying.
You bring extra. That's why I said, like, it forces Jack Del Rio to do more. And also, I would say, to your point about Chase, is that the reason why his numbers went, like, to your point, like, the reason why his numbers were down was because Del Rio, they put so much pressure on him and Montez to get pressure to get sacks. Going against doubles, getting chipped one-on-one rather than bringing pressure, making life easier for them. Mm. So I just think that now, like for Chase, it's on the flip side. As in any sport, when one is hurt, they get an opportunity to sit, watch, and kind of hope to get better from that and like try to work on their craft and become a better football player or whatever sport you're in. So when you get injured, you have an opportunity to sit and watch and try to get better.
Real quick, let me ask, what has the reaction been largely? I know you follow a lot of the fans on Twitter and social media because people were so mad at him about him saying money. I had to make money when they were at. So I'm wondering, are people really
not hating? But I'm telling you what, I'm not hating. But
I'm just saying. So how are people receiving this news that he's going to be out for the season?
They feel bad for him.
Okay,
they feel bad. They're not evil. They're not.
I was going to say, because he's been getting bashed about, you know, those recent comments.
I mean, those comments.
The $1 million man.
So Will, did you hear the comments?
Money. I ain't say it right.
Will, you hear the comment?
No, I did not.
All right, so Chase, what it was is. So what it is, like, Chase was missing practice, but missing practice for commercials. He was missing practice. He was missing camp for commercials. And he was like, yo, what you expect? Like, they paying me. It's money. Like, what you expect? You would do it too. I agree. Like, I actually agree. I'm just saying you don't say it.
Was it like training camp?
It's camp.
Or was it like I
want to say it was like camp, like training mini camp, like mini camps and stuff like that. But the issue, but you know the optics though, Will, right? Like you know how optics are.
I don't care. Look. I don't care about the optics. Yeah. You don't get paid to go to mini camp.
Yeah, I feel you, bro. But listen, I know. Look, I agree. But if you have if you have one sack so far in a year. And that people think that now the look is, dude, you ain't working on your craft to be that guy. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you were having five, if you had five sacks or, you know, five sacks, nobody would care.
This is the one thing I hate about sports fans in general.
I agree.
So sanctimonious, right? Like, no, seriously.
That's right. I'm agreeing with you. I agree.
They get so sanctimonious. You know, like, all of us, everyone, most of us are professionals. All of us have a job. Mm-hmm. Our job is our craft. Mm-hmm. I know people who during the work hours, they do things that are not pertaining to their craft that don't necessarily bring them money, right? So why is it that we put the onus on athletes to, you got to perfect your craft. You got to do all this. But when us, the common man, doesn't do as much to perfect their craft on their job. Just makes me sick.
They don't have the common job, Will. That's why. There's not millions of people coming to watch us do this right now. And our numbers, if our numbers were low and we had a lot of people investing into this, they'd be pissed off with us, period. If somebody said, we're going to invest into the urban sports scene a lot of money because we believe you guys are dope, and then we don't produce, of course we're going to get criticized, especially if we're doing other things instead of working on this. So I'm okay with it. I don't necessarily agree with it. And I hear where you're coming from. But at the same time, I understand where fans are coming from. And it doesn't look good. It doesn't. It does. Like right now in college, now we got the name, image, and likeness deals. Clemson's struggling this year. Their quarterback.
Oh, yeah, do it.
DJ, I can't say his last name. I ain't going to try. Ukulele.
Yeah, I know. Like
He's got smaller. He's on Dr. Pepper commercials, and he's a good dude. I watched him in high school. I lied to you not. But he's getting paid right now. He's not playing well. He doesn't even look like he's going to be drafted.
Not anytime soon.
Right. So I'm just saying, in sports, you know, just like when people talk about, oh, man, athletes are expected this and they are and they're expected to do that. They're expected to do interviews. And da, da, da. Of course they are. I mean, hey, it's not the same job as us. They are, again, in a results-based business. And I know we all do to some degree, but at the same time, I don't think you can compare the two. But regardless, Chase being hurt may benefit him, like Wole said, from the standpoint he can watch now. And maybe he'll come back a better player. Hopefully, physically, he'll come back, you know, in better shape. Because a lot of people say when you tear your ACL, if you work hard, you'll come back better.
Oh, meaner. You'd be meaner.
Yeah.
Like, definitely meaner.
Stronger.
All right, yeah. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene, part of Amp Papyrus Media at amppapyrusmedia.com. So, Sunday, Coach Rivera goes back to Carolina and coaches against his former team, the Carolina Panthers. He's also going against his former quarterback, Cam Newton. How important do you think this game is to Coach Rivera?
Well, my bad.
It's not your bag, sir. Keep going,
no,
sir.
No, I you know, he'll say that it's not important to him, but look, all of us want to, if someone lets you go, they didn't believe in you, and then you have an opportunity to face them again, it's human nature that you're going to want to go out and you're going to want to dominate them.
Yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
This may be one of the weeks where Ron Rivera is most tuned in, most focused. Right?
Yeah.
He, you know, his team's coming off of what's perceived or what is a huge victory against Tampa Bay at home. Defending Super Bowl champions, you're 3-6. You have an opportunity to get back to 4-6 and start to get some momentum, and you play against your former team, the team that fired you, that didn't believe in you, a team that you took to the Super Bowl, a team that you helped to revive that franchise, for lack of a better word. Of course, it's a big game for him, and I think he's going to, you know, but some of his comments that he said this week, you know, as far as, you know, he's got some tricks up his sleeve for, you know, for if he ever had to face Cam Newton. So he has some things that in mind that he believes can stop Cam. So yeah, this is a big week for him. I think it's an important week for him.
To be real, and I hear what you're saying, and I respect it all because it's true. And especially the reports that Matt Rhule has been just a good teacher. It's been a lot of just positive news about Matt Rhule and who he's been to that organization. It's been refreshing to see this change and that change. Of course, it's going to be some motivation. But for real, every game for Washington is important from this point on. You dug yourself in such a hole that you cannot, you can't take any weeks off. You have to win, and you have to win now. Because think about this. You have your big division games coming up. You want to win these important conference games as well. So I don't care if it was the Falcons this week. Dude, you need this game. You cannot go to 3-7. And still have hopes to make the playoffs. Right now, they still got a shot.
I thought he was. I thought this was like a rebuild. I thought Coach Rivera wasn't talking about. I thought every game was a lesson. Like I didn't think we're talking about. We're talking about like this is a playoff type of thing,
dude.
I thought he. I'm just saying from the reports prior
to when. Last year. He said
according to like experience. I thought according to before the Tampa game it was. Oh, this is about
you. You believe building. Everything he says? No, I know you.
I'm just playing devil's advocate here. I'm just saying, like, according to this dude, every game is a learning experience. So, to me, like, if he's gonna go with that thought process, if this is probably be the game that he cares about the most, because it's all about Cam. It's the narrative of you're going against Cam. You're going against, you know, like you said, Rhule. Everybody talking tight about Rhule. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's even the narrative, like the whole idea of, dude, you didn't sign Cam because you felt like because Cam's always been linked to you. He's been linked to this organization about should they bring him in with the quarterback play. So you want to make sure that this quarterback look bad against you. Like you don't want him looking good against you.
Everything that you that happens after this game will be my.
I know, bro. I'm serious. Facts.
I'm an Atlanta fan, and Dan Quinn was real extra after that game. And I'm like, wow, really? Like, he has hard feelings? Like, dude. Mm-hmm.
You mean all comes out, yeah, after the game. Yeah.
So what he says before means nothing. And with Rivera right now, dude, I just can't trust what he's talking about. I really can't believe what he's saying because he gives mixed messages.
One
week it's a rebuild. The next week they're trying to make the playoffs. But again, I'm an Atlanta fan. The Atlanta Falcons were sitting in the last playoff spot before they got whooped by Dallas.
Yeah.
And Washington's one game behind them. Dude, it's not over yet. The season is far from over.
I'm arguing that point.
And last season, when he saw that there was a chance to make the playoffs, he pushed for it. Then he regretted it because they were getting. They were taking.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't want to hear this.
I don't know what he's doing, but I just believe that no matter who you're playing, forget the Panthers, forget the past. Dude, you have to win and win now, no matter who you're playing these next couple weeks.
Man, he a funny dude, bro. He a funny dude. All right, so like I mentioned, you know, so Washington had the opportunity. I mentioned the Washington Cam Newton side.
I mentioned all that.
So on social media about if Cam puts up numbers against – forget wins and losses. Cam puts up a good showing against Washington. Does that make Coach Rivera look bad? Like, does that make him?
You're daggone right. They, being the Washington football team, has botched the personnel issues throughout the course of the year. You have all this talent on defense that hasn't performed. You signed Blewett out of nowhere. You cut Dustin Hopkins when you said you weren't. Dude, you signed Ryan Fitzpatrick. You didn't draft a quarterback. Yo, they did not trade up to get Michael Parsons. There's been a lot of questionable decisions by Ron Rivera. He drafted Bates. Why? And Cheeseman. He used two draft picks on when he could have signed them later.
I ain't saying nothing.
Yo, so this is going to be the icing on the cake if Cam comes in and kills. And I'm hoping he does. Even though I like Washington, but I'm rooting for Cam just because the league forced this man to get vaccinated just so he can get a job. So I'm going to root for Cam. This man made an announcement. I'm surprised he didn't do a LeBron type of decision like, hey, got the vaccination. It's crazy that all that this dude has been through, like he's gotten criticized, and Josh Gordon always has a job. Seriously.
Facts, dog. Facts.
Josh Gordon ain't producing, but he always has a job. OBJ's getting criticized. He's getting killed in the media for one game with the Rams, but Josh Gordon has a job all the time. But Cam seems to be this villain. When,
man.
Why? And Cam was, I mean, he was an MVP. Come on, dude.
An MVP gets the charities. All this
nothing
stuff,
against
bro.
Washington. I'm rooting for Cam if somebody plays against Atlanta.
Will, what do you think? Is it a bad look on Coach Rivera if Cam has a good showing?
Absolutely it is. I mean, Cam Newton is essentially, you know, he's no regular quarterback the street. But Cam Newton is a guy who's just coming off of the street and had, 2 weeks to prepare.
Yeah.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And here you are, Coach Rivera. You had some struggles at the quarterback position. You wouldn't even give this guy an opportunity to come in and and try out. And if Cam Newton goes out there, he looks like, you know, from an efficiency standpoint, looks like Cam Newton, you know, during the, you know, towards the end of his career where he's completing like 60-70% of his passes, and he's also able to run and make plays with his legs. You know, and this team has had some, you know, they've had some issues with guys who could break the pocket, you know, and extend play. It's, you know, it's a recipe for disaster to me for Washington, but I've been wrong before, so, you know.
Nah, very good point. So on Twitter, at that Coastal Cat said yes. He tweeted yes. Should all be fired if they lose. DH tweeted, nah, I don't think so. Even though Heineke ain't the guy, he hasn't been the lowest spot for the team. The fact that Ron never jumped at the chance to sign Cam should have let everyone know that they don't rock like that, and that's fine. On Facebook,
that's why Cam's gonna come in more motivated.
I'm telling you, bro. On Facebook, George posted tremendously. He said, "You can have every guy on the team that used to be on the Panthers, but not the QB, especially in favor of the QBs we've got."
Perfect.
On our Urban Sports and Instagram page, Wood posted, "Tough call. Can Cam win a way other than his way? Can he win his way and still be available?" Maybe in week two, Rivera felt he had more options. I stated this before. We about to go to break, but I stated this before. Like, dude, if I'm – Rivera brought all the dudes from Carolina, and most of them dudes were done or backups. He brought Tommy Davis, a guy he coached in Carolina, but Tommy Davis was on his last leg. And I loved it, but Tommy Davis was good in Carolina, but he was on his last leg. You got the backup quarterback in Kyle Allen. And, you know, you got – you brought in,
too.
You know what I'm saying? You brought in Scott Turner, who was a quarterback coach, and made him to an offensive coordinator. But the one dude that you won with in your whole career, you couldn't bring him in a vet men deal. Like the one dude, you couldn't even bring him on a cheap deal, and he would have made less than Fitzpatrick.
See, again, I'm not going to bash Rivera. I'm bashing Rivera because of the culmination of his decision.
Yeah.
However, just to be quick, because I know we're taking a break.
Yeah.
Yo, think about this. If he would have brought Cam Newton into this organization, just like we talked about, if Deshaun Watson would have been traded for, it would have been a circus on top of what you already dealing with. I think that was the biggest detractor.
But you know what?
But it shouldn't be a circus.
It shouldn't be a circus because, it is, to your point, I know what you're saying, but like you said early, it's not like he's freaking Josh Gordon. And I like Josh. I've always root for Josh Gordon, but it's not like he's Josh Gordon.
Of course.
You know what I'm saying?
It's just the media picks and choose. Yeah, they pick what they want.
Yeah,
man.
So that's the issue.
And Cam is he's polarizing. Period.
Yeah, because it is what it is.
He got swagger.
Will
T watches YouTube channel, don't you, Will?
He got a YouTube channel? Cam got a YouTube channel?
Yeah, Will T, the one that told me to watch the outdoor interview with his pops and all that when he was talking about, you know, just why he wasn't in the league. Remember that, Will? Wasn't that you that told me?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, I don't watch his YouTube channel per se. I watch that interview. Oh.
Yeah. Okay, well, you can take us a break now.
My bad, Will.
Porter versus Crawford goes down Saturday. We'll talk about the fight after the break. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Doses.
On Empire Media. EmpireMedia.com.
Come on, man. And with the local DBC news, Ellen Cooje with a triumphant comeback.
More a saloon. But tonight,
don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years, I'm rocking my pants, put suckers in fear, making the tears rain down like a monsoon. Listen to the bank go boom, explosion. Overpowering, over the competition, I'm towering, wrecking shop. When I drop these lyrics that I make you call the cops, don't you dare stare, you better move. Don't ever compare me to the rest that are all get sliced
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T, Ray Jeezy, and myself, Wole, part of Ampire Media at AmpireMedia.com. All right. This Saturday, Terrence Bud Crawford defends his WBO welterweight title against Showtime Sean Porter. How excited are you all about this fight?
I'm excited. I'm excited about the fight, but I'm disappointed with the promotion of the fight.
That's yeah, I know.
Sure. Yeah, fact. this fight is on arguably the biggest sports network in the world, ESPN. It's going to be a pay-per-view fight. ESPN, you know, naturally, you know, has millions of sports fans tuning into the fight. I've watched, you know, I don't watch ESPN as much as I used to, but I watch it for, you know, college football and college basketball. And I haven't seen, I've only seen one promo for this fight. And that was during Monday Night Football yesterday. And that was on ESPN2 on the Manning, cast.
Oh, they're not blasting on ESPN like that? They're not? For commercials and that? They're not doing that?
Not that I've seen. Huh. But then again, I will say not that I've seen, but then again, I don't watch a lot of ESPN.
Okay.
I watch it enough to watch games.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm definitely excited about this fight. This will be the public's perceived step up in competition for Terrence Bud Crawford against Sean Showtime Porter. You know, Sean Showtime Porter is a guy who's been in, you know, with some of the probably all of the best at 147. Uh-huh. He's been in with Keith Thurman. He's been in with Errol Spence Jr. So he's a guy who has some names on his resume, and all of the fights that he's fought, he's given every guy a very tough time. But Terrence Bud Crawford, I think, is a whole nother animal. He's a guy who can fight any style. You know, it'll be interesting to see how Bud deals with Sean Porter's kind of aggressive, come forward with his head down style, and how he counters that, right? Does he try to stay on the inside and fight Sean Porter, or does he, you know, create space by using the hook to stand behind the jab and using his hook? Whenever Porter tries to come in straight down or straight without you behind a punch. I'm excited for the fight. Looking forward to it this Saturday.
So we're at the age where we remember and we also miss HBO boxing. Would y'all agree
yes,
with me, right?
Yes, we all miss it.
Okay. And HBO was a trendsetter. They started what's called 24/7. Now I got my phone right in front of me because, you know, Showtime has what's called All Access, Tank always produces good all access,
yeah.
Which is, I'm gonna just, it's 24/7. That's what it is.
Yeah, Mayweather.
Top Rank has their version too. It's called Blood, Sweat, and Tears. They've had two episodes so far to promote this fight. And if you watch those episodes, in my opinion, Bud is presenting as the fighter that has way more pressure on him.
Yeah.
Because all he keeps talking about is, this is my best opponent on paper. But I told Sean, because we rock, that I wanted to fight Spence. I didn't want to fight him.
Yeah.
So he admits that he didn't want to fight Sean because he was going for a bigger fight. And he keeps talking about, oh, well, Sean is my biggest opponent, but Victor Postel was supposed to be my biggest opponent. Mean Machine was supposed to be my biggest opponent. Kell Brook was supposed to be my hardest opponent. I always make these dudes look easy, and I'm going to do the same thing to Sean Porter. But the fact that you keep dwelling on the fact that this guy has the resume that you don't says to me that you're going to be thinking a lot going into this fight. I'm hoping he doesn't overthink. He just lets his hands go because he's that talented, of course. But Sean Porter's like all the pressure's on him because everybody know that he ain't fought nobody.
Yeah, it's a fact. And
he's going to have a hard time now trying to fight a pressure fighter like myself in a situation that he's never been in before.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, one, Bud is elite. I think everybody knows that. He's elite, man. Bud is elite talent, but for some strange reason, everybody says the same thing about Sean Porter when this asks, but they always say, like, they're going to make him do different. And it always ends up being his kind of fight. Regardless of the outcome, it's always his kind of fight. It's a different animal when you get into the ring with a dude that just want to go, that just wants to get in the box with you and cradle you up and just make it a war. Like, that's what he wants to do. And he has a chin, which I've gotten people who tweeted, like, he's going to get knocked out. I'm like, bruh, like, this dude got a serious chin.
Never gets knocked
out. He don't get knocked. If you think that if you're banking that Buds is gonna knock him out, it ain't gonna be easy. Like, this dude's chin is real. Like, this is not an average chin. So it's just like, when you go into Sean Taylor, I just hope Bud knows that he's going into a war. Like, not thinking that, you know what, going southpaw and all that. Like, just be prepared. Like, this is going to be a war. Because, like, ideally, I remember watching when we were breaking down Spence and Porter. And I was saying to myself, yeah, this should be an easier fight for Porter because Spence likes to crowd you. Porter likes to crowd you, and Spence likes to go to the body. I'm like, that's good work. Like, that he can get you. Because you're going to get in close quarters with Porter, he'll hit you to the body.
He kept coming forward.
Yeah, it didn't matter. And arguably, we can both say that we think that Spence hits harder than Bud, right? That's fair to say. So I'm just saying, like,
I just think Bud is faster.
He's faster. No, so, hands down, he's faster.
See, that's the thing. Bud can win a decision.
Yeah, he can. Oh, easily. I think he can win a decision. Knocking that.
And the concern for me is if Bud loses this fight, it's going to mess up the whole division. Because it's just like when Usyk beat Joshua. It's like, oh, now it's going to be no Joshua Fury. Yeah. Joshua Fury is supposed to be the biggest fight in the UK. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if Sean Porter beats Terrence Bud Crawford, then where does Sean Porter go from here? He's already lost to Spence. You want to see them run it back?
No, I don't. It's already done.
But if Terrence wins and he leaves Top Rank for just the stuff that Will's talking about, Top Rank just doesn't like the way he promotes himself,
yeah,
and vice versa, it affects the relationship. Where do we go? I'm hoping that Terrence. I mean, yeah,
I'm hoping Bud
wins. So that way, yeah, eventually we're gonna have to see Bud and Errol. Although Ugas has earned the right to fight one of them too.
Yeah,
and Ugas is good. And he's entertaining, and he can beat anybody. I think on any given
that
day.
That would probably be Porter. Porter probably, if he did beat a Bud.
He did beat
Ugas.
Ugas beat Porter for real. But yeah, Porter won. But yeah, I mean, technically Ugas had that fight.
Will, so Will, do you think that does Porter hold any challenges for Bud, like, from your point of view?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Look, his aggressive style. Look, Sean Porter is a legit 147-pound, uh-huh, right? Uh-huh. Sean Porter's ability to come forward, and what people often don't give Sean Porter credit for is, yes, his boxing skill.
Yeah, he can box.
His ability, even though, yes, he comes forward, but when he comes forward and he gets on the inside, he tends to pivot. When he pivots, he finds angles to go to the body and creates opportunities to go to the body. Specifically, you know, hitting, the abdominal area and also in the ribs. And also he's in occasion he's able to, you know, hit a on the side, hit a box on the lat, and that, you know, that often creates lactic acid in the muscle, which makes it harder for boxers to throw punches. You know, if he keeps hitting you on the lat and hitting you in the back, on the lat area, when he's on your side. So yes, he stylistically he presents opposition for Bud, but I think, you know, as with most of the time with Sean Porter's in with one of these elite guys, you know, these guys often find a way to, you know, create that one-off opportunity to, you know, mm-hmm, just get slightly ahead on the card and win the fight.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's going to happen on Saturday.
Going the distance, though, may not be the best thing for Bud either. If you watch him in some past fights, like Gamboa, Gamboa was much smaller. To me, he looked tired down the stretch, even though, of course, he was the bigger fighter. He's the more skilled fighter. And eventually, he closed the show. But he also, Benavidez, same thing. He ended up almost going to distance. And of course, he knocked him out late. But again, we're talking about Sean Porter.
That's just
Sean Porter can fight two fights in one night.
Yeah.
And still be all right.
I'm just, go ahead.
This is a scary fight for Bud. It really
I think so. I don't like the, and Will, I mean, Will, I like Will's prediction of what he's talking about. But I've been on Twitter, have conversations with my homies. I don't like the way they acting like Sean Taylor is going to be, I mean, Sean Porter is going to be, it's easy work. It's not easy work, man. It is such a challenge. Like, I know people bump with Bud because he is skilled. Like, he's super skilled. He's fast. He has power on both hands. He can switch. I mean, he's a tactician in the ring. You know, he can switch to southpaw. There's so many good things that he can do in the ring. But something about you, when you're going against Sean Porter in the ring, it don't even matter. Like, he could take away. You just got to be willing to go to war. Like, there's certain things you can do to, like, even Earl. Like, we watched the Earl fight. Earl had to catch him for it to kind of be in doubt, like, to be doubt. Like, to be like, oh, he won. He had to catch him.
Still a split decision.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm saying he had to catch him for look like Earl got it. You know what I'm saying? He had to catch him. This dude, he mucks up the fight. It's hard to judge cards with him. It's a lot that makes it difficult to really judge a Porter fight. And if you don't knock him out, if you don't knock him down, you're really, I mean, I feel like Bud will win if it goes a distance because you have to have him win. It, even if it's close, Bud will win. But you don't want to put that in the air. Like, you don't want to put that in the air. You don't want to put that chance out there.
If he stops him, though, to me, he's legitimized himself as number two.
Yeah, number two.
Canelo
yeah.
is clearly number one.
Yeah,
but
I agree.
He's going to solidify a number two spot in the pound-for-pound rankings. But before he fought Kell Brook, Bud, he said, I don't care about the pound-for-pound rankings. I didn't come up with that. I'm just here to fight and show you what I can do. But now him and his whole team are fixated on pound for pound, on proving that they can beat the before Bud fought Kell Brook.
He's using Kell Brook as a barometer?
No, but he didn't seem like he cared as much about what people were saying. But now he's focused on, oh, this is my toughest fight, this is my toughest opponent, while emphasizing that people have ducked him his whole career, which is not true. Although
the
whole 60-40, just take the 50-50 and fight each other. I don't care. But anyway, the point is, this is, at least on paper, it's tough assess, and we're all, like, nervous.
Yeah.
It sounds like nobody is confident that, like, Kell Brook, we knew Bud was going to get him out of this.
Yeah. And even if you look at it before the knock, I mean, if you look at the rounds earlier, before he knocked this Bud out, like, it was competitive, which is...
Kell Brook took
But Kell Brook is a talented boxer, too. Just
Kell Brook was...
He just beat up. He's beat up. He's done.
He fought Amir Khan, too, years after Amir Khan was in his prime.
There, like I'm saying, like it just
this is the first person he's fighting, and Sean Porter's still at the top of his game too. That's another thing.
Yeah, if he beats a Porter, I'm not taking this away from Bud. This is the fight, you know. This is the fight that I've wanted to see him.
Last
I think this
fight on
this,
top
this,
right yeah. too. This is
oh, this is official. This is his last fight for real.
Well, his contract expires. He ain't renewed yet, from what I heard. Although, according to some boxing analysts and experts, he could have already signed a secret extension, and we won't know until afterwards. But right now, Bob Arum, who he's not my favorite promoter, but he's real. Mm. He speaks his mind.
Yeah, he does speak his mind.
So he right now doesn't seem to be too happy with how his money's been invested into Bud's career, because Bud doesn't want to do anything but box, and that's it. And he's like, dude, come on, man. You want to be Floyd. You got to act like Floyd.
Yeah. So before we go to break, I'm going to start with you, Will T. Mm. I mean, Will, you already predicted, but you have it going the distance.
No, I have Bud winning by a late round stoppage.
Okay, okay, right. How you have it?
Yeah, I'm gonna go. I'm not a boxing expert. I won't brag if I get it right, and I won't say anything
like
if I get it wrong.
I
but
know.
I'm gonna take Porter by decision, by split decision.
I want to pick Porter. Like, I want to pick Porter too. I want to.
Bud to me is the easy choice for me personally.
Yeah, I just
so if I pick Bud, I'm not showing any type of
I'm trying to be. Trying to be real.
I think Porter's going to get a split decision.
I think Porter is going. I think it's going to be super tight. Like, I think it's going to be real tight.
I think it's
a split decision. I think Bud wins by a split. But I would not be surprised if Bud
can skill really beat Will.
That's what I'm wondering.
I think if once it goes past like the sixth or seventh round, and Porter is still
doing that thing,
forward,
I'm saying, that's
I think
different.
Bud is going to be exhausted.
This is my thing with this fight. It's just, we all believe that iron sharpens iron. Right? It's a factual statement. Now, there's no knock on whoever, competition, whatever, but it's just the resume alone. Arguably, I think that looking at Porter's resume, and this is any boxer, other than Canelo, I think his resume is probably the second, in terms of active boxer, the second best resume.
Sean Porter.
Yeah.
So
that's what I'm saying.
Here's
one thing,
the iron sharpens iron is a good argument, but how elite is Bud? That's what I want to know. Because Caleb Plant is a really good boxer, but against Canelo, he had no shot. No chance at all.
He's not Canelo.
He never looked.
Canelo's
right,
different.
That's what I'm saying. Well, if Bud is considered to be at the top of the pound for pound list, then he needs to show
that
he's in another class from Sean Porter.
Well, Canelo on a different stratosphere. I'm being real, Will.
People who had
Bud ranked
ahead of him.
Bro, we talk about Will. Like, Caleb Plant is probably a better boxer than Canelo, real talk. Canelo's Will is like, dude, I'm going to walk you down. I'm going to punish you. Like, I'm going to hit your body. Canelo was hurting him on limited punches, bro.
Did you see when the sound was amplified and Caleb Plant was talking to
him? Yeah, I heard. Damn good.
That right there says a lot.
He want that respect.
But also, this fight is not in Nebraska. This is going to be a good
fight. It's going to be a good fight,
man.
Because
those Nebraska fights annoy me.
I know, bro. It's going to be a good fight.
I get it.
It's going to be a good fight.
I get it.
All right, so on Twitter, man.
I got Porter, though.
Yeah, I got.
Oh, who did you pick?
I said Bud.
Oh, okay.
Split decision.
Okay.
I want to pick Porter. You know what? Scare money don't make money. I'm going to pick Porter. Porter split.
We got to see who Johnny's picking. We're going to go to opposite.
I know. We're going to Johnny. They change up.
But I think Johnny's going with Porter. Uh-huh.
I think. No, Johnny going Bud.
Oh, okay.
I think
good,
he going Bud. All right, so Jackson Ray. Hey, Jackson Ray on Twitter tweeted he has Crawford. He said he's levels above everyone else.
See, that's what
boxing
I'm
IQ, movement, footwork, switch hitter, boxing, power in both hands, and he's a killer. KO by the sixth round. See what I'm talking about, people?
Ooh.
Sixth round. My man said a sixth round.
He didn't get Gamboa out in the sixth round. He didn't get Benavidez out in the sixth round. Look. He don't. I mean, Kell Brook he knocked out early, but Bud usually. I mean, the Burns fight went the distance.
His fights aren't.
That's what I'm
saying.
He'll punish you though. Again, that's why I think he can win on points because he's gonna land punches. Oh, he's so fast.
He definitely. All right. Are the Wizards viable championship contenders? We'll debate this after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Inc.
For ages.
You did.
Deuces.
Are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T, Ray Jeezy, and myself, Will A, part of Ampire Media. That's at ampiremedia.com. All right, the Washington Wizards are 10-3 and are currently the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. Are the Wizards actual contenders to get out of the East?
Who are you starting with?
I'm starting with you. Start Will, man.
To get out of the East?
To get out of the East. You know what I mean? To get to the finals. Are they contenders?
No. I don't think they can make it out of the East.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a team that could, you know, the way they're playing, they could contend for one of the top four playoff spots.
Uh-huh.
Which I didn't expect coming into the season. But to make it out of the East, look, this is a team that, you know, that they have inconsistent nights from guys not named Bradley Beal. And to make it out of the East, you need a guy that you can consistently say will go and get you a bucket at crunch time. Spencer Dinwiddie looks like that thus far into the season. Montrezl Harrell looks like a guy who can go get you buckets, but we all know in a seven-game playoff series where coaching staffs have the time to really scout a team and they can focus and take away what you do best. I think this Wizards team will struggle with that aspect, but during the season, I do think this is a team that could win 50 games.
Did you see how they closed the Cleveland game? Did you watch it?
I did.
And you saw that play that was drawn up, and Brad drew the attention, and he kicked it out, open three. That's the type of stuff I think that teams won't be able to have an easy game plan for in comparison to last season. That's what I love about this year. I know we're just 13 games in, and injuries can play a role. There's a lot that could change. You know, it's a long season. It's a long season to go. Like, Will, you said that to start the show, and I totally agree with that. But the changes have been, I'm going to say it again, refreshing. For example, Coach Unsell, he switches out offense and defense. Like, with Brooks, it didn't matter who was on the floor. They were going to stay on the floor if they could shoot.
Yes.
If you felt like Nettle was the best option in terms of getting open looks, Bertans, they're going to stay on the floor, even though Bertans was checking Kevin Durant. It's like, come on, man. Versus, you'll see Denny and Davis be switched out, at least when Davis was playing. And right now, another aspect I love is that players are earning playing time. They're earning their keep. Troy Brown last season, he said it best. I don't know my role. There's some games I play well. I think I earned some playing time. Next game, I'm going to be a DMP. The next several games. So how can you establish a rhythm? Versus Aaron Holiday's earned playing time. Kuz. Hachimura, good luck getting your spot back.
Facts.
How you going to take Kuz out of the starting lineup?
Facts.
You mentioned Dinwiddie. Of course, Avdija. Last night was his coming out party. Look like Kukoc on offense, by the way. But he's got to finish strong at the rim. But other than that, he's growing. He's developing. And he's got the size. He's playing, I mean, and he's
strapping.
He put up the X.
He's strapping. And he's playing with attitude. He's strapping with attitude.
He put up the X last night, and he was playing with a lot of fouls at the end of that game. Brandon Ingram, strapped. So it's a lot. It's just a better energy around the team, and it shows. Again, long term, if Trey stays healthy, that's going to be key. Can he receive an award? What award can he get? Comeback player, even though technically he's not coming back from injury? I don't know, but.
No, I mean, I think.
But I didn't ask you a question, though.
Go ahead. No, what?
Can they be contenders for the finals?
No. To get past, to get through the East.
I don't think so.
All right, so this is the thing. I'm gonna list.
And that's
the
not their goal.
It's not. But I'm list the teams. The only team. Obviously the defending. You got respect to the defending champs. They're struggling right now. You got to give them respect.
They're not even in the play-in
right now.
They're
playing right now. But you won't give them respect though, because they're the defending champions.
What did you draw them first round? You in trouble. You draw them first round.
Yeah, I mean nobody want to get them.
Go ahead though. My bad.
You got obviously the Nets, who are dangerous, but you don't know Kyrie coming back.
I don't know if they're gonna be healthy. Either.
You don't know. It's the same. It kind of. It's like to me. It's the what if effect. You know what I'm saying? Though we all, I think everybody in this, everybody on this show has a lot of respect for Chris Paul. And what we thought that the Suns would be a lot better, but a lot of people didn't think the Suns were going to go to the NBA Finals. No one graduated. A lot of folks didn't graduate them to the to contender status. Not just and we all respect Chris Paul and can say that he's that type of leader that can get you to get you a level like that. But a lot of folks, if you ask somebody to say, will the Suns make it to the NBA Finals, you would say no. I'm looking at this Wizards team, the way they're coached, because that to me they're coached right now by one of young. The best young coaches so far. I know it's early, but I'll say it. From what I've seen in terms of watching a basketball game, this team is coached well. Like the Wizards are coached well, and it's not just comparing it to what we saw last season, though. It was atrocious last season. But just of watching, like Ray mentioned, that game winning play, that you obviously coached that up to Bradley Beal to say, you know what, you don't have to be the dude to take the shot. You can be a decoy. And you can trust your teammate and Kyle Kuzma to knock that three down. Mm-hmm. Like, there's things that you can see. That, to me, builds a winning culture. The Atlanta Hawks went to the Eastern Conference Finals. No one thought that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so to me, I think this team has a shot. There's about, other than, again, the Nets, because they got their matchup issues, because you got, folks, the Nets and the Bucks. Everybody else the Wizards can compete with. Everybody else.
I think everybody. Miami's a team that scares me.
They're scared, but you can
and a healthy Philly team.
Yeah, but you're not gonna probably have Ben Simmons. You have to have Ben Simmons for. To me, you're gonna have to have a locked in Ben Simmons for the Sixers to be what they need to be. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, like, it's not. I feel like, do I think if I take the odds, will the Wizards make it to the finals? No, I don't think the Wizards will make it to the finals. Do I think they're contenders? I think they have a shot. Like they have a shot.
A long playoff run. Will T pointed out the obvious, which in a series, coaches have more time to prepare for their opponent.
And you have one of the better ones, though. Better
ones. And it'll be uncharted territory for Bradley Beal, who is the leader of this team, to make a deep playoff run. He's never made a deep playoff run because of injuries largely to the team. So it will be new for him, but that's what his goal is this year, to lead this team to a deep playoff run, not the finals. But can they contend? If they go in with the attitude, like number one seed in the East, that would be dope, but at the same time, they could draw a matchup that could, like the Pacers, for example, or the Bucks, as the standings currently sit,
the
Hornets, and it could be a very competitive series because they're not head and shoulders better. Like let's say Brooklyn, when Brooklyn's good, they're better than everybody.
Yeah, everybody. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
so I think that's where I'm coming from.
I just feel like Will. I mean, Will, you got the floor. I'm sorry. I feel like I'm.
No, go ahead.
I just feel like they're. I mean, other. I think it's. I mean, I guess you could jump the Sixers in there now. I think about it, but
the about, Wizards are small to me.
They're small. They are small. But I feel
them.
Like once
Valanciunas
they get,
hurt them
but when they get healthy, because you mentioned like not even having Rui, Bradley, but they winning games without their quote unquote their best player.
They play so well as a team.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like playing team basketball. Like we forget. Like if you play team basketball, you can get a lot further. Like they are playing
doubt.
Like a unit.
No
like
doubt.
Are for how many people called Danny Avdija a bust last season? Folks call him a bust last
but
year.
That's unintelligent.
But I know. But I'm just saying. Look how this dude. One, they were. You're right. You're unintelligent. But secondly, that dude put in work in the summer. Like that's work. He put in work in the summer. Where now he's a good defender. Like he just made himself a defender. He in the draft he was known as an offensive weapon. He turned himself into a defender to a point where he can make a player like Brandon Ingram work. You know what I'm saying? Like to me. Everybody has bought into what this coach has brought to the table. Like everybody has bought in. Which, when you break down a team that's ready to take another step, that's the first thing is to buy in. You got to buy into the mission of the coach. And if you do that, and everybody buys in, bruh, it's a dangerous weapon.
It's called mentality. They came back from 19 down last night.
Mm-hmm.
They don't get too high after wins.
Yeah.
It's like on to the next one.
Mm-hmm.
They have a chip as well. They have a chip on their shoulder. And they, of course, they know right now they're number one in the East. And nationally, nobody's talking about it.
Nobody's talking about it.
Nobody's, and I'll give Troy some credit. Troy Halliburton on Twitter, he pointed out, he said,
"No,
we got to listen to ourselves on podcasts. And we got to be the ones talking about this team." Because he said, nobody nationally is talking about the Wizards.
Mm.
And it's so messed up because you have a young coach. As a matter of fact, he's the only first-year coach right now with a winning record. He played against Willie Green last night.
And Willie Green.
2-13.
Yeah.
Jamal Mosley in a tough situation in Orlando, but still, he is winning as a first-year coach. But let's see what happens as they travel more.
Mm-hmm.
And the good part is, though, because there was a question I had. Okay, Brad is going to sit out the Nets and the Knicks games, correct? He can't play there.
Yeah.
They've won two games in a row without Brad. They've won three games without Brad already this season.
Yeah.
So now that's not a concern. So it's not a whole lot of concern except their lack of size. So are they going to make a deal? Are they going to, at some point, maybe make a run for Porzingis? Is Thomas Bryant going to help when he comes back? We don't know. That's the thing because right now he can't play Gafford and Trez together. And Trez just brings it all to the table. But Gafford is such a presence on defense that you got to keep him on the floor as well. So that's the thing I'm concerned about is in the middle.
But he has a good subbing pattern where he plays. He closes with Trez.
He does.
You know, and he makes sure if they need some defensive.
Gafford's working on his offense.
Yeah, no, Gafford's fine. Yeah. I think Gafford's fine. Like I have no issue. I think Gafford is good for this team. But they use Gafford enough where in terms of trying to create the tone defensively, and then when they want to close out, okay, Trez, it's time for you to close. And I said this before. The notion that Trez doesn't play any defense is an LA thing. The Lakers create that narrative. His defense is solid enough. Like, it's solid enough. It's not – is it better than Gafford? No, but it's solid enough. Will T, you have anything you want to add?
No, man.
I'm
not
close you
out. Said it all.
You're my guy. I can't close you out.
You guys have said it all,
I can't close you out, man. You're my guy. I told you a star, man.
No, I mean, listen, man. Listen, you know, two guys in the studio, two guys remote, you know, extra podcast. You know, listen, man.
I dislike you right now for saying this talk, man. I dislike you right now.
I know my spot. I sit at the kids' table at Thanksgiving, man. You guys, you
this
know.
Guy, man. This guy's hilarious. Hey, I see there's a tweet by the homie Cameron. He said, let's wait till December and wait till we get Rui Hachimura back in the lineup.
You know how much I appreciate Cameron?
Because
he's so consistent about the football team and the Wizards.
Yeah.
Across the board, and he always roots no matter what the situation is. Versus Twitter, everybody else is ready to lose their minds when they lose. Like against the Pelicans, they were down, and of course, everybody's bashing. The game I had the privilege of being in person and covering was they lost to the Raptors at home. Man, Denny was getting so many hate darts on him.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, because he missed a couple layups.
That guy.
But now Denny's like
he's
the best thing since sliced bread.
I know.
So, dude. Let's be consistent. Look at this team. Clearly, the coaching change made a difference. Let's stay with the positives.
Yeah.
And I agree with some folks, though. We don't know how to act because the Wizards have never been in first place in the East.
So
we don't know how to act.
My conclusion is I think the Wizards, personally, I'm a Lakers fan, but I think the Wizards are contenders in the Eastern Conference. I said, I'm going to say it.
Well,
I'm going to jump out there.
Right now, there's no clear front runner, is it?
Go, Will.
No, I just want to, you know, it'll be interesting to me to see how this team continues to evolve mm-hmm. you know, as the epic winning, right? Yeah. We all know that sometimes, you know, winning brings, you know, sometimes guys don't feel as if they're getting their shots up. They aren't getting enough recognition. Mm-hmm. So they'll tend to go outside of the offense. They'll tend to gamble a little bit more on defense to, you know, to get those highlight reel steals and dunks. Uh-huh. So it'll be interesting to see how this team evolves as they win. Bradley Beal, he was a part of a Wizards team with John Wall that made it, you know, to the first round of the playoff. They didn't make it any further. So it'll be interesting to see how him as a leader, how he keeps these guys, is he able to keep these guys focused and will he apply pressure uh-huh. when he sees this team starting to get relaxed or not work as hard in practice or on their defensive rotations during the game? These are all things that interest me.
Yeah, and they're all interesting points. I mean, I would probably say it'd be interesting to see what Kuzma, Trez. I mean, Trez was even with the other teams, with Clippers, and you know, because they had decent playoff runs. But you know, Kuz winning the championship, Caldwell Pope winning the championship, players like that. What the advice they can do, give the other players when they're in the postseason about how this is what we had to do to win a championship.
Bubble. I hate to say it.
I love the bubble, bro. The bubble's real.
No, I mean, let's get Bayless. Kuzma won LeBron the championship. So
the bubble was good competition because everybody was on the same playing field. So I respect it.
I'm just saying, in terms
of going on the road and getting those hard playoff wins, that makes a difference.
Well, it does. No, but it also, I said it before. I'm just being consistent. I said it before the bubble even started, before anything happened. I told y'all. Me and Will said to say, like, it's harder because you have no advantage. If you're the home team, you have no advantage. If you're the favorite. There's a reason why the Miami Heat got to the finals. There's no event, and there's teams. If they had, because they couldn't, if you had the best record, it was definitely bad for teams with the one of the best records because you lost your home field advantage, your home court advantage. If you don't have that home court advantage.
Right, so it's a difference now, right?
Huh?
It's a difference now, right?
Yeah, because now you have it. To me, if you're the one seed, it's easier.
Right now?
Yes.
Okay,
it's easier.
So my point is, the bubble experience is different from what they're going to be going through.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
I don't know if that can translate. That's all I'm saying.
Oh. Maybe not. You're right.
We can debate what's easier or harder.
Yeah,
but it's
you're right.
Difference.
It is a difference. Facts. It is different because you can't really relate to what's going on. Hey, we're now making our week 11 NFL picks on the show. Hey, but Will, you moved up to second place, right? I'm giving you flowers, bro.
I mean, it's towards the end of the show. I think that's something that could have been in the A block of the show, but yes, I've moved up to number two.
Number two, you are number two now. We all got the same record, though. Me, you, Pizza Boy. I don't know somebody.
I don't know.
I don't even know who the heck that is.
That drop even farther than that. I don't know.
Yeah, you're number five, Wallen.
Oh, thank you, Will, for bringing that up. Appreciate you.
At this
you
point,
said that with so much,
somebody
so much energy.
Somebody's got to beat Hakoum Wong. That's the only thing. Maybe he'll lighten up a bit
and stop making this pick early or something. Like always hitting us up on emails or whatever.
I'm gonna give you your number, Will.
No, you are. I mean, you can. I don't answer numbers I don't know.
Hey, yo, this is
hilarious. No, he gonna text you like, hey,
I'm
this
not
is gonna
answer.
You know, no, he gonna call you. Gonna text you. Hey, this is Hakoum. Just can you send me a pic, please? I ain't seen him yet.
Hey, yo.
No, I have an iPhone, and Apple has this wonderful feature called Block.
It sure does.
You go block.
So it doesn't matter to me. How cool you'll get my picks
when you
if I decide to send you
I
my
do
picks.
It. Hey, and you can check out our picks.
My man
on
Will T picked the Vikings,
time.
Man. The Vikings are annoying.
Website, man. Just go to www.footballgarbagetime.com. You're right. I hate picking the Vikings. They always do the opposite. Subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Check out the home of the Urban Sports Scene, Amp Empire Media at AmpEmpireMedia.com. And this show can be found on Podcast DC. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all of the Amp Empire Media shows as well as other great content. And we appreciate you all for listening. Keep tuning in. Listen to us next week. Are we going to have a show next week? I don't even know. Anyway, you've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
Yeti.
Deuces.
Hey, Mega, lead us out, big homie.